Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yo, hello, good day. And because it's a Monday and a holiday, happy America Day, you MAGA motherfuckers. Right. It is time for us to talk on America Christmas. It's time for us to talk wrestling, man, like nobody else in the world. And you know that means it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm Camp from the Port.
America, fuck yeah, America, we come here, we're here to say the fucking day, yeah.
I got to watch Team America World Police today. After we pod, I might watch that today, because that when I think of the 4th of July, that's what I think of, that and okay. The Great American Bash.
Yeah, Great American Bash.
You know, so make sure you rate, like, subscribe, wherever you get your favorite podcast, FBC.POD. FBC _POD on Twitter. Go ahead and get that merch. Go ahead and click the link in our bios and get that merch. We will be wearing that merch at SummerSlam.
You did. It's official.
Because, yes, we will be at SummerSlam. We will be at SummerSlam along with, you know, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and Happy Corbin and Pat McAfee and whoever else is going to be wrestling there. So y'all make sure when y'all see that first Black Champ emblem, y'all see us.
Yeah, man. So. Yeah. You know, and you know, you don't necessarily have to keep your distance, you know, because we are here. I'm going to be there. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm there to mix and mingle and see what really wrestling fans is really out there that really mess with us, mess with the brand, first Black Champ brand, because what's so very special to me, even about us in July, going to the pay-per-view, and one of our now home cities, it's like my third home, fourth if you count like suburbs of Chicago, because I'm from Freeport. You know what I'm saying?
I have to think about that now.
You know what I'm saying? Because like I was like Indianapolis has always been my second home, but I was like, but I'm not from the Chicago area, so technically it's my third home, which would make Nashville my fourth home. That's so exactly. We out here. And speaking of four, going into the five. We are coming up on the fifth anniversary of the first Black Champ podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So that's Finn. What makes it extra special. Special. Not
Finn.
Special.
We are Finn Camp for the Port. That is very special to you.
I mean, yes, 5 years. 5 years. You know what I'm saying?
We're on the Finn.
Right there.
On the Finn. On the Finn, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. We started this thing in 2017, July 2017. And I'm going to give it a more proper introduction on the next episode we got coming up. But yeah, man, we're closing on five. And since we've done the show, Bang and I, although we have went to wrestling events, this is the first time we've went to a major pay-per-view together as the first Black Champ podcast. Yes. So, you know, that is the other big reason of why I knew I wanted to go. I was like, SummerSlam is going to be in July, 5 years, first Black Champ. Yo, can we, you know? So we worked it out. And so we will be in attendance, and we thank you all. Next stop is WrestleMania for us. We'll take other pay-per-views. But we, but first black champ has to show up at WrestleMania eventually. Don't discount it. It will happen.
But yeah, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen because my wife said it's going to happen. So that's first and foremost. You know, because when I told my wife, I was like, yo, I got to go out to Nashville for SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling you off the air. First, she was like, yo, Trey coming? I was like, nah, not this one. You know, and then plus, the last time we was together was for your birthday. And my wife got a video of that. So,
Yeah, man.
Also, at SummerSlam, and we got to celebrate Finn, you know, correctly. So Trey can't really be here to celebrate Finn, you know.
That's true. You know, that's really true.
You know, he can celebrate with Battleground, you know.
Okay. I dig it.
He can celebrate for Battleground, but like the four, you know, the four, you know, he can't fly out.
I dig it. No, I got
it. He can't fly out, you know. What I'm saying?
Not quite yet.
But it is 5 years, and we, you know, we have a proper, you know, a proper conversation about 5 years of first black champ, you know, next episode. But it is great to see that we've been doing this for 5 years. We both talk about how this might be the most consistent piece of content that we've done. So now going on to 5 years, and now the majority of those years with the Barber Chair Digital Network, and make sure y'all check out the new website. So shouts out to Scott, Joe, Pierce, and the gang for definitely being along for the ride. So now the majority of our years again are with Barber Chair Digital, and knowing that, you know, that one of the most listened to pods on Barber Chair Digital is First Black Champ. You know what I'm saying? So whether y'all in secret listening or whether y'all tweeting like the Donnies and the B Dots, you know, and the others that that just jumped on. I Hate Vonnie, I think is the Twitter name, and some of the others, like, we definitely salute everybody. But we will have a deeper conversation about, you know, first black champ Finn.
Yeah.
You know, hashtag Travail Kier, y'all too. Y'all been there. Shit, damn, this is day one. We'll have a bigger conversation with that. And, you know, shouts out to everybody in the group and stuff. Even shouts out to my man Dre, who went to high school with each other. You know, I'm going to fuck around and invite him on the pod for AEW pieces only.
Yeah, man.
That motherfucker loves AEW.
I'm with it. As a matter of fact, should we open up maybe like a, I don't know, maybe a bonus segment or something next week for anybody that wants to come and talk about First Black Champ on the show? Should we do that? Or,
Especially for Dre, because Dre, he loves, like, we need somebody that can really talk AEW.
Yeah, for sure. He's
going to talk AEW.
Yeah, that's a fact. You
know, like, that, like, it was funny because... And we're going to talk about this today, about how I clowned the ending of Blood and Guts, AEW. Okay. And if you didn't see it, it was last Wednesday, and they had that Blood and Guts, which is their War Games. I can't call it War Games. And it was the Jericho Appreciation Society versus Claudio Castagnoli. Eddie Kingston, that team and everything. It was a weird ending. And then even before that, with the last pay-per-view, they Forbidden Door, like, I didn't like that ending at all. Like, that ending was piss poor to me, because you used the ending of the pay-per-view to set up your Wednesday show.
It's right.
I didn't really fuck with that ending. But the pay-per-view was tremendous.
Okay.
It's probably one of the better pay-per-views. And it wasn't long either. Like, I was able to watch that and then, like, watch the end of the BET Awards. So it's like, pay-per-view was on point and timely. But I can't clown those two endings and not have a conversation with the ending of Money in the Bank. So we're going to go ahead and go straight into the Money in the Bank pay-per-view that happened this past Saturday on Premium Live Event.
Yeah.
And then Premium Live Event. You know, it's not pay-per-views no more. It's Premium Live Events. You got to remember that. Saying.
Hey, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, obviously, it's been ingrained in our head since the 80s, you know, pay-per-view. But it's like, no, but you're not really doing that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nah, dog, you got the app.
Right. Yeah. And from what I heard, I don't know how true it is, but Peacock is going to charge you $9.99 if you have Comcast, period. So it's like, shit, we might have a decision to make. Nah, we get $9.99 to the $4.99 or whatever. But there's a lot of stuff that went on in Money in the Bank, some of which was in your face, and others were... insinuating, you like, wait a minute. So let's go ahead and go to the start of this joint, which I think probably as far as moments go, it gets no bigger and better than the Women's Money in the Bank match, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Asuka, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans, Raquel Rodriguez, and Shotzi. Cam from the Port, if you listened to last week's episode, Cam from the Port picked the MAGA win.
Yeah, man.
It really hurt my heart.
It is real quick. Hey, shout to Threes from the Ring podcast. Shout to Threes from the Ring. Chris J, Trev, and all, because they was like, because they went out of their way to let me know. Damn, MAGA predictions is not happening. I appreciate you, fellas. Yeah. All I can do is laugh. Bro. And before Ben goes, I will say, when I watched the match, I didn't watch it live. I had to watch the replay. The entrances alone made me wrong. And I was so shocked about that. And I have a sidebar question whenever you're ready.
Let's go with the sidebar question.
Okay.
Let's go with that first.
Because being it is, you know, 4th of July, and wrestling historically has been super America, super red, white, and blue. Rep the armed forces, if you rep the service of the men and women that protect and defend our country, you are usually celebrated. And you get an even bigger pop if you're actually one of those men or women that do that.
Go ahead.
And in the match itself, you heard eruption for Becky Lynch. You heard pop for Liv Morgan. You heard acknowledgement and somewhat of a pop. I'll say pop for Asuka.
Yeah.
And as well as Alexa Bliss, who got a major eruption, I believe. Again, she got champion music. I'm just throwing it out there.
She does.
But when Lacey Evans got out there, oh, wait, Raquel, I'm sorry, also, you know, it was like, hey, okay. But when Lacey Evans got out there, it didn't even seem like people was just fucking with her in general. And she had on the Urban Baddie camo with the pink, white, black, and gray. She had the Urban Baddie camo on. And they still wasn't going up for it. And I was like, wow, I've never seen that. And then, and as that match progressed.
You have.
Well, possibly. I'm gonna say not like this, because even when she went up to the ladder, like, people started booing. Like, they were like, oh, no, not you, not the America MAGA girl. No, 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 no. And it made me think, especially as the night went on, has the WWE specifically, have they lost their America edge? Because because most of their top-tier superstars are international now.
That's, you know what? I would, that's a great question. And honestly, it's not even really for the international joint. You, Bobby Lashley's been dominating. Bianca Belair's your champ. I think that's part of that.
Okay.
Like, Becky Lynch is yeah, of course, international, and she, that people want her face again. Let's just put it like that. She don't need to be here. But Bianca Belair is dominating so much. Like I said, like I've been saying these past episodes, she's the hottest wrestler in the company right now. She's the most over wrestler in the company right now. And that's with everybody. So I think you have that. And then also I think the reason why I said that you saw it before is Kurt Angle. Because they wanted Kurt Angle to be a face. But the way they positioned it, people was like, ah, fuck dude. Yeah. So, and I, so, and I, it just one thing mm-hmm. is I think she's, I think in wrestling you could be so pro-America mm-hmm. where it's obnoxious.
True.
That's what Lacey Evans is. It's like, aye, fam, you there's Hacksaw Jim Duggan America,
mm-hmm.
and then there's Kurt Angle America. And right. she has the air about her where she feels like because she's American, she's over other Americans.
Mm, okay.
That's why I believe that they should. I think they was trying to push her as a face.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because what we're starting to see,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to make her a heel.
Absolutely. I think by nature, I think Lacey Evans is a pretty good heel. You know what I'm saying? The thing with Kurt Angle, right?
Because
you are
thing.
Right.
It's another thing, too. But go ahead, because it's another one, too.
Yeah. The thing with Kurt Angle is when they basically had him as the third Steiner brother, you're right. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Because but the minute, though, he was like, hey, you know what? They booing me. Well, let me give them another reason to boo. Like, that's when it worked. Lacey Evans, though. I mean, remember, we had a 4-week rollout on her entire life story. All things considered, she was supposed to be female Lex Luger.
Yes.
She was supposed to be Lex Express. And that shit ain't working. The thing with Kurt Angle is that they didn't even go that far. Like, they were just like, hey, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist. He won with a broken neck. He's a great athlete. A great wrestler. But, and they thought he was just going to come out there like Kurt Steiner.
But
and
here's
people
the
were
difference.
Just fuck with it.
See, here's the difference between Lex Express America Lex Luger mm-hmm. and Kurt Angle Lex Luger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kurt Angle America. Kurt Angle was an Olympic gold medalist. So he had awards to come with. Mm-hmm. Lex Luger was a heel who just all of a sudden, you got to remember this. And what's funny is I just got through watching Raw leading up to
the USS Intrepid.
The USS Intrepid. He was full-blown heel. And then one day he slammed Yokozuna and everybody said, hey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, he literally did just randomly show up, slammed a fake Japanese person.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he was a face.
When I was younger, I saw that and I was like, damn, wasn't he just the narcissist last week?
Man, literally.
Like, the people kill the WWE about how quick they switch shit.
Mm-hmm.
If social media was alive, what was that, 1994?
Mm-hmm.
Vince would have gotten killed.
Yeah.
Because he just hit Jim Powers like 6 weeks ago from looking at his mirror. And then all of a sudden, all of these white men,
mm-hmm.
here's the key, that's the red herring to the Lacey Evans shit. All of these white men get up on the USS Intrepid and try to slam them. And then they say, Lex Luger's here. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is it wasn't even like a shake hand. Oh, what up, Lex? Because you wanted the heels. Like, what up,
right.
G?
Right.
Oh, shit, you out here to watch our shit? No, it was, oh, Lex, what you doing here?
It's America, like, Jack.
It's America. And bam, 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 bam. And then he hit him with the elbow. He mm-hmm. wobbles and he slams. Crowd goes wild. He's up on the ropes, hands up. And all of a sudden, we have a whole new narrative of Lex Luger.
Yeah.
Now he's on a bus. He's shaking hands. He's kissing babies. He's mm-hmm. high fiving and fist pumping. Doom, 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 doom.
The most popular bus since the Madden joint.
Right. We said, I'm still looking like, yo, this is the narcissist fan. Who the fuck did he didn't care about nobody?
Nope.
Now he got a bus. Yeah, he's the Lex Express. And he's going to SummerSlam.
That fool found a USA rugby shirt. I ain't never seen that. And he had it tucked in. That's wild. Hey, yo, having your rugby tucked in is wild.
Yeah, everything was tucked in the 90s, G. Like, in the early 90s, everything was tucked in. See Charles Barkley when he came on the episode of Nitro with Ric Flair. My man had on, like, he had on a T-shirt tucked in with some Junco jeans. That shit's hilarious. But to get the... But to get the Lacey Evans, it's because she's not a man.
Oh, okay. No,
see, white men don't want to hear, oh, I was in the army and I was with this squad and I got a baby.
Yeah, it's like, bitch, you ain't more America than me.
Right. I truly think that white men don't want to hear the patriotic white woman on wrestling talk about how American she is, and I got a daughter, because they like, where your man at? Yeah. We'll get him out here. We don't want you wrestling.
Man, who like, your man, G.I. Joe, bitch? Huh?
Yeah, like, you got a regular ass dude as a husband.
Yeah.
And she was harping with the sappy shit. You know, yeah. We lived in a trailer, and I dealt with abuse, and I dealt with this, and I dealt with that. But I fought it. I fought it just for you. That white man looking at her like, man, fuck this bitch out of here, man. What the fuck is Tony Storm at? What the hell is Tony Storm? Where's Alexa Bliss? Yeah, where's Oscar at? Man, I'd rather see Oscar right now, fam. I don't want to see this.
And that's a great point here.
That's what it is. White men don't want to see Lacey Evans as a good girl. They want to see her either as the pinup.
Okay.
Or if you're going to be one of us, you just got to be bitches' asses. Your finishing move is the women's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we already see in real life, they ain't feeling that.
They not feeling that. So, and it is, that's what it is. What did I say a couple of weeks ago, Kemp? White men.
Age
18 to 34 don't want to see Lacey Evans succeed. That's all that is. They don't want to see her succeed. So she can't be female Kurt Angle. Now, what can happen though is this. She could be a heel.
I got you.
And then like a Charlotte Flair or a Bianca Belair, like turn, it's a double turn.
I got you.
That's how they do it. But coming off the bat, that's why I thought they was gonna make her a heel at first. And not this I made it through and I fought for you and I had kids. It's like, nah, it's like a league of their own, fam. The war is over. This shit closed down. We're back.
They call Tom Hanks, man.
Right. Hey, yeah. So that's why Lacey Evans, that's why, in a nutshell, to me. That's why Lacey Evans is not going to succeed. Because white men ages 18 to 34 don't want to see you flexing in army fatigue pants. They don't want to see you dressed up as a dancer in a 90s video.
Yeah.
Because think about it. With what she has on, she looks like a dance with the boots.
Yeah.
She looks like a backup dancer in the Aaliyah video.
Yeah, or since it was in black and white, she could have been in the Soldier remix video.
That too, she. that's her, fam.
Hey, yo, Lacey Evans in the Soldier remix and the Aaliyah joint, though. It would have been crazy. Right. Are you like somebody ass?
Bow, bow. Like, that's what she looks like, knowing everything. So I feel like I see what they wanted to grab on with her military background and everything. Mm-hmm. But that got to be healed, fam. She can't be around here, you know. Yeah, hey, she's the Patriot. Yeah, and we ain't even give a fuck about the Patriot when he was going against Bret Hart.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, man. Hey, look, man. Could have fooled me, man. It to me, the writing was on the wall for that to be the biggest America celebration since Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
What's
up?
It was Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Yokozuna before he got... bludgeoned to death.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to be one of those. I was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, eventually I'm going to bring America back. But no, not at all. And then the crowd instantly was like, nah, we not fucking with this at all. The only thing, and I'm not saying this to be bogus to the match, because I think it was a really good match overall. It was a really good match. But understanding how that match went in a couple different spots definitely made me appreciate the Shelton Benjamins, the Ricochets, the Kofis a lot more. Because whether you practice or not, some of the things that those gentlemen were able to pull off, I think even Sasha Banks got a couple, and Naomi got a couple off. Like, because, I mean, shoot, I thought motherfucking Shotzi tore every CL she had when she went through that damn ladder, bro.
Yeah,
that didn't look good.
She had a couple of spots where it was like, ugh.
Yeah, that didn't look good at all. That looked like, ooh, you're going to be Future Endeavor on accident, because they can't fix all of this by 2023.
But also, I think a lot of the reason why Lacey Evans and others got the lack of pop is because of the eventual winner. I think if Lexi didn't win, fam. I mean, not Lexi. Excuse me. If Liv didn't win, my bad. If Liv didn't win, I think this was the if Liv didn't win, we riot night.
Okay.
I think when it comes to Money in the Bank, she had to win this one. And to see the outpouring of support from wrestlers.
Yeah, man.
Everywhere with her win, for her Money in the Bank win, at the very least.
Yeah.
And a Money in the Bank win, it shows that, like, good people, you know, I guess you could say good people, you know, win. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that, like, right off the bat, when she walked in the ring, they was, like, the sentimental favorite.
Right.
And keep it up. The last time I saw a sentimental winner win is Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
When he won the World Rumble. Can't use that no more. Like, even the people they try to make sentimental don't be. This one legit was. Mm-hmm. And I know it irritates me sometimes when she be hitting us with the extra emotional. I'm gonna win the championship, you know, this is my name. This one I was like, okay, all right. Yeah. Have your moment, fam, because you did it, and it was time. It was time for her to get what she needed. And did I expect what happened later on that night to happen? No, but we're gonna move on from this. We're gonna recirculate this in a couple of matches.
Yeah,
and we're gonna go to, I would say, the most bittersweet moment of the night for me. I have been saying that Bobby Lashley did not belong in the U.S. Championship match versus Theory.
You have.
I don't feel like Bobby Lashley shouldn't been in this match at all. And he was in this match against Theory. And now, I would say, even though I picked them, to my surprise, still, Bobby Lashley became the U.S. champion. And it was bittersweet because I don't think he should have that belt. I really was like, as we see Liam behind me, trying to put on his hat. I really thought to myself, like, fam, he should just win the belt and then throw the belt back at Theory. Just like, I don't want this little shit. I don't want this little shit, but you know what I'm saying? I beat you for it. Now you can have it back again. What were your thoughts on Bobby Lashley winning?
Oh, man. I thought a couple things. I thought first, I mean, obviously siding with you, man, this is the former two-time WWE champion. So what does this do for Bobby? But you know what? I had to step outside of myself and my own personal opinion. And I went to this, and I'm going to go to this until Raw has a major title. Damn. Look what they think of Bobby Lashley. Because if nothing else, Bobby Lashley is going to start and or end the show along with Theory. because right now they have no world champion that has to show up. So it's one of those things where, do I want to start seeing invitationals for the U.S. title again? No. Yeah. But you know what? Better Bobby Lashley than Theory. Better Bobby Lashley than Miz. Better Bobby Lashley than John Cena. Better than Bobby Lashley than AJ Styles. Bobby Lashley has now become, I think, the workhorse, the definite moment of the show, definite locker room leader. I think this is Bobby Lashley being elevated to a level that we may have not seen black wrestlers get elevated to, with the exception of maybe Booker T. But even in that, Booker T was a WCW product that came over to the WWE, whereas Bobby Lashley has always been WWE, even when he was ECW. And we haven't seen a homegrown talent that becomes that pinnacle, that staple, that cornerstone for the WWE that just happens to be black.
Yeah. And you're right. I still hated it. Like, what the fuck is he like?
Yeah.
It was just irritating to the core. But shouts out to the new United States heavyweight champion, Bobby Lashley. You know, a black champ is a black champ. So salute.
There it is.
Bianca Belair versus Carmella, and an expected win from Bianca Belair. Towards the end, you know, it was a tease of maybe Liv Morgan being able to cash in on Bianca Belair, because, you know, she had beat up and, you know, Bianca Belair was struggling to get up and all of that. Yeah. So the crowd was like, oh, shit, let's see what's up here.
Now that would have pissed me off. That I ain't gonna lie to you. That would have pissed me off, because the where Bianca Belair resides, like, to me, that's what the internet wrestling community will call a bury. It's like, oh, we just gonna have Bianca Belair lose to fucking Liv Morgan. Like, that's a no win. That's a lose lose. That is a lose lose right there, because you potentially have your two biggest current faces in the women's division now having to pick a side to be one or the other. And I don't think right now where we sit, it's gonna work.
Yeah, and then plus she lost to Becky Lynch in 26 seconds.
Yeah.
So I think any quick match again, her losing the belt would have been like, oh, get the fuck out of here. But then also at the same time, it would have been kind of messed up for Liv Morgan to try to cash in and then fail too. So yeah, it would have been a no-win situation here. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they didn't do it. All right. The tease of the night. Mm-hmm. Along with this question right here, to me, the match of the night happened when the Usos and the Street Profits went up against each other for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Mm-hmm. Was that match fire, man? Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. All the fire emojis for that match. But before the match even started, you hear the announcers talking about how Caleb Braxton's talking about the Street Profits ain't been getting along. And I said to myself, I'll get the fuck up out of here. Here we go. Because somebody on this show predicted a breakup on Saturday.
Hey.
On Saturday. I knew my man was in Kentucky having a good time. I ain't even text him.
Man.
Listen. I ain't even text him. Like, yo, you might want to keep an eye out. Because before the match, and it's funny, Kayla didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like Brian Saxton. Just like, I heard from Caleb Braxton that the two ain't been getting along. And I was like, I'll get the fuck up. And if you watch the match, they was giving Montez Ford all of the love. That's Montez Ford, Montez Ford, Montez Ford, Montez Ford.
Overtly.
Overtly. Look at the physique of Montez Ford. He's in the greatest shape of his life. yada, yada, yada. I'm like, yo, Angelo Dawkins is about to fuck this man up tonight. And on Monday, Montez Ford is going to be like, bro, excuse me, bro, why? Because I don't see, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about this, but I want to ask it again.
Okay.
Who got to do the breaking up in here? Montez or Angelo?
I'm still going to go with Montez Ford.
So he got to go here.
Yeah. I'm still going to go with Montez Ford because, and just to give y'all a new reason this week, check our archives for last week's thoughts. I think that Montez Ford as a heel will be just as entertaining as Montez Ford as a face, whereas I think as a face, Angelo Dawkins gets further over, but as a heel, Angelo Dawkins kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Because, like, and when I say lost in the shuffle, he becomes one of those Mr. Hughes heels. Mm. Angelo Dawkins has too much charisma that people just naturally mess with for him to be a heel, in my opinion. Whereas in just the appearance of Montez Ford alone, you could love or hate him. It all depends on how he wants to treat you. So I look at it like that. You know, hopefully they don't no way Jose Angelo Dawkins. I think he's worth more than that. Hopefully they don't Mojo Rawley Angelo Dawkins. He's worth more than that. I think that I honestly, Angelo Dawkins could be Black Pat McAfee if they play this right.
So I disagree.
Okay.
A bit. I agree with you with the Montez Ford. He could be a heel. He could be a face.
Mm-hmm.
He got the gift of gab. I would want to see him as a heel first.
Mm-hmm.
I would want him to have that heel momentum. And then eventually he turns face. Just get that momentum. And then when it's time, turn him face.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going into it, Angelo Dawkins has to become the heel.
Mm, okay.
He has to do the breaking up. Here's the thing about Montez Ford that we all know and that we don't give Angelo Dawkins credit enough for.
Mm-hmm.
They both can talk.
Yeah, facts.
They both can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. Angelo Dawkins is the we're going to beat your ass guy. Like, you're more serious than me when it comes to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I'll joke around and be like, all right, fam, you know, I don't think you understand, but we beat your ass in here. You come behind and you like, look, fam, shut the fuck up. We gonna beat your ass. I just be like, I've been saying that for about 5 minutes, but because his nose flared up, we taking it seriously today. That's Angelo Dawkins in Montez Ford. Because Montez Ford will be telling you in the most animated way, man, we're going to whoop your ass. So get ready, ready, ready. Angelo Dawkins come from behind and be like, fam, I'll whoop your ass right now. So basically, what I'm telling you is that if they do it right, Angelo Dawkins has the potential to become my favorite heel wrestler. Because he talks like us.
I get it. Hey.
And he can still talk and everybody else know what's going on. So he could be like, look, I brought you here. Because Angelo Dawkins has been in the WWE system longer than Montez Ford.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought you here. If it wasn't for if it wasn't for me, you would not be where you at. Hell, you wouldn't even have met your wife, G. But yet I got to go around here and I got to hear Montez Ford this, Montez Ford that. Montez Ford got the potential to be a world heavyweight champion. You got the Rock putting you up on his Instagram and on Twitter talking about how you're a future world champion. Mm. And all while that's going on, y'all Marge is out here acting like I'm the next Marty Jannetty. Well, I'm going to show you that's not going to be the case.
Mm.
I'm going to show you because I'm about to beat your ass, fam.
You just answered my next question, but I want you to make it clear for the audience here.
Let's get it.
Who has to go over in the Street Profits Explode feud?
Montez Ford has to go over.
Really?
But I also think Montez Ford has to go over because Angelo Dawkins would need a character tweak.
Okay.
And you named a wrestler that I didn't even think about.
Mm.
And that I would see Angelo Dawkins as, and that's Mr. Hughes.
Mm.
We did a check the archives. Mm-hmm. This is not before Barbershed Digital. This is Barbershed Digital. So check the archives of Barbershed Digital First Black Champ. We did a Mr. Hughes appreciation show.
Mm.
Mr. Hughes was a heel that they were bringing your territory to beat up on your face and get them over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that Angelo Dawkins is a future world champion or anything like that. What I'm telling you is he's definitely the person that should just be the person that just beats your ass. That's what he is.
Yeah, I think that's still very valuable too at the same time.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie to you all. My reservations from Angelo Dawkins becoming a heel, because if they don't know how to use a black heel, we lose a black wrestler. And that's my concern. That's why New Day being faced as long as they were didn't bother me. Because the thing is, when they put Big E with AJ and Dolph, he got lost in the shuffle with the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
I was like, well, fuck. What more does he got to do? look, present day, look who Big E is. I mean, minus the injury, but look what his trajectory. This was supposed to be his entire year. This 2022 was for Big E. So, you know, that's an unfortunate setback. They're already hell bent on making Montez Ford work. Like, you can't convince me, and this is my guarantee for this week. You can't convince me that Montez Ford ain't getting the Roman Reigns package.
Oh,
I'm not talking about Tribal Chief. I'm just talking about, hey, we broke the Shield up, and the people said they want that guy, so we about to give them that guy every single time, and hopefully the universe don't turn on Montez Ford like they did on Roman Reigns. However, I think I'm not going to say it's impossible, but why I'm optimistic that it won't is because Montez Ford's character and likability is far greater at this level than Roman Reigns was when they broke up the Shield.
Bro, I'm going to go a little bit further in this. Mm. I truly believe because of the swag that Montez Ford has, mm-hmm. he's going to be a mini Rock.
Mm. Yes. Hey.
But this shit is going to be more believable with The Rock. If you follow him or his wife or even their couples page, G,
mm-hmm.
my man be swagged out to the nines, G.
Hell yeah.
Decked out, clothing, fam, everything fitted, got the slacks, the shoes and everything. That's your character right there, because that's you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him being a Seth Rollins type of person where it's like, rah, 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 yeah. No, his mm-hmm. personality, which is why eventually he's going to be a better heel than face, his personality breeds what we see when we go to a club or a restaurant mm-hmm. and all of that, and you got the dude over there with the money that's dressed like Keith Sweat in 1986. But just for this, for now, mm-hmm. he got the look, he got the charm, he got the charisma, he has the physique now. Mm-hmm. He has everything that you need.
Yeah, man.
He don't need to be a... He's Montez Vontavious Porter, G.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah.
He's that. I mean, if they don't have a vignette, when they break up and they don't have a vignette of him coming out of a limo, or him being anything Hollywood, they fucked up. To your point, is, hey, man, we afraid of what they do with black characters, because the same thing is with Angelo Dawkins. Low-key, I'd rather see Angelo Dawkins as a heel, as a Mr. Hughes that'll just fuck you up. Or, you know, we always trying to keep putting that militant black dude shit on people. Months, because of how Angelo Dawkins talks, and I'd rather see him in a mold like that than also a...
Hey, if nothing else, man, revamp everything that was D'Lo Brown. Please. Just for me. For me. Because Angelo Dawkins can D'Lo Brown.
He is. Sure. He is D'Lo Brown when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think about it, he's this generation's D'Lo Brown. And D'Lo Brown was a hell of a worker. But D'Lo Brown was also intercontinental and European champion at the same time. Don't Tucker this man, G.
Right.
Don't Marty Jannetty this man. Don't even Jim Neidhart him and put him in another tag team with a black dude.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah.
We don't need none of that.
Yeah.
Don't, but don't also, don't Reverend Devon him either.
Man.
And here's a, here's even a crazier thought. I see what Gunther has going on over there with Ludwig. I don't even mind that. I don't even mind him being Montez Ford's muscle. Like, yo, I'm going to make sure you straight, G.
Right.
exact words. Hey, we Street Profits, we ain't breaking up, but we doing things different here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that my man's protected and he can still go around wrestling and all of that shit. Like, he doesn't, he can be his MVP, except my man was born in 90, so he's younger. He can still wrestle and he can still go. But the forefront is making sure that my man's get to the top, and you can still break him up.
Yeah.
You can
still
Alex Riley Miz him.
Yeah. Or and add Cedric Alexander.
I'm glad, cause see, that's the thing, man. I'm what I'm afraid of, and you named it, fam. You named it, G. What I'm afraid of is that they're gonna break him up, and then it's gonna be Cedric Alexander and Angelo Dawkins in the tag team.
Hey, you know, it would be difficult, but you know what? Listen, I also feel like they didn't table for Three to Hurt Business for no reason. And if Cedric and Shelton wanted to join the Street Profits faction, I ain't gonna lie, I'd let it rock. I mean,
as long as black people on TV, I'm happy.
Exactly. That's my thing. Because and the thing is, and I mean, obviously, if I see it, I think they would have to see it as well. Like, Angelo Dawkins is a very valuable commodity on this roster if he's just given the opportunity. Because, I mean, shit, the Street Profits were the Street Profits. We can't forget that. Like, I don't know what happened after they lost those Raw Tag Team Championships after the swap with the New Day and all of that. But, you know, obviously they've built the Achilles heel being the Usos as their thing. And I have no problem with that. But now I'm sitting here like, okay, we obviously see the fix is in for Montez Ford. And I am okay with that. But what I don't want to be okay with is that them short-selling Angelo Dawkins, because he's another superstar, in my opinion. Maybe not world champion, but like to Bang's point earlier, you know, Bobby Lashley don't need that U.S. title.
No.
But shit, look what Angelo Dawkins could do with it, or the Intercontinental Championship. Like, not even the tag team championships anymore. Like, Angelo Dawkins versus Theory versus Miz versus Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke. Like, those are all still great moments on TV. You just got to give him the ball and let him show that part of it.
Yeah. Let me be clear. And we both saying the same thing. I think Montez Ford becomes the bigger star. But if you sleeping on Angelo Dawkins in any way, shape, or form, you're sadly mistaken.
Word.
We both think that the WWE has two potential stars on their hands in the street with the Street Profits. It's just depending on how they use them. Yeah. And the worry we both have is just that the WWE is not going to utilize one of them right.
Yeah.
And that's Angelo. Because I think somebody told Montez, hey, get your body right, it's time. And we missed the overtime part. But then looked one day, and this mug was 240.
Yeah. Like, yo, I just left lunch. Let's do it.
All I've been doing is eating chicken, mustard, and rice. Let's get it. And I think we would be wrong if we don't mention how the Usos, no matter who it is in the ring, is going to give you the match of your life.
Man, hey, listen, man. Listen, man. The Usos, man, are just, they're just great. They're just literally great. Like, I know we, as wrestling fans, no matter what federation, no matter what era we like, we always get into these conversations about all-time lists, top five, this or that. Let me tell you something, man. As a person that's definitely watched three solid decades of wrestling, tag team wrestling being my favorite for a long time, I was one of the people that was genuinely butthurt when tag team wrestling was not at the forefront or even a thought for a lot of years, post-Attitude Era, and even during certain mixed bags of that. And I have my quirky favorites, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Young Stallion, shout out to Kate Murdoch, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know what I'm saying? But the Usos, whether, like, you don't even watch them for the anticipation of getting a five-star match, because that's the buzzword, but you know for a fucking fact you get a five-star match from the Usos. And I'm not, and I'm talking about, let's take it a step further. They're a five-star book. So that means once they know they own the bill, they're gonna cut the right promo. They're going to give you the right energy on the build-up. Then they're going to perform in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then even they celebrations when they win, it's like, yeah, because you never know. Is they just going to celebrate and just show brotherly love? Or is they going to beat the shit out of whoever else some more because they can?
Man.
And you don't get that. Check history. You don't get that consistently from all of our favorites. All of them. Run the list. Steiners, Harlem Heat, Heart Foundation, Rockers, Demolition, Tully and Arn. Like, just run it. Nobody's doing what the Usos are doing the way they're doing it start to finish. And I'm talking about from booking, from the first mic to the last bell. Nobody's doing it like them, man. They are incredible.
So, yeah, so those two tag teams definitely deserve their flowers, so we're giving them right there. But I wouldn't be shocked as we record this on a Monday. I would not be shocked because the way the match ended, how, Montez Ford's shoulder was up and everything, they get a rematch, and they lose that rematch, and then the breakup happens.
Yeah, man.
And if that match is tonight, as we record on Monday, if the Usos and the Street Profits, whenever they tag next, the breakup is going to happen at that point because they need to prepare for SummerSlam. My guarantee is Montez Ford versus Angelo Dawkins at SummerSlam.
Pre-show, kickoff, middle of the show.
If they do it right, it's middle of the show because of the emotion that's behind it.
Yeah.
I think, here's the thing. This is what's missing with tag team breakups. What's missing with tag team breakups is the emotions behind it. Like, when, in the WWE, I'll say this, they sometimes they do a good job at tag team breakups, but most of the time they don't. It has to be special here. It has to be, like, their best tag team breakups is the two people that they just put together.
Yeah.
You know, Mega Powers collide. Great. They fucked up Strike Force, though.
Yep, sure did.
When you look at it, they never had the payoff with Tito Santana and Rick D'Amato Martel. So the breakup don't even seem like it's probably going to be right to me. But if you do it right, the emotions that come between Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, whoever is the face to get they get back, is going to drive it. And as a black wrestling spectator, I am interested to see how they do it. Because I'm also the person that has said on this pod that the New Day needs to break up.
Yeah.
And that Big E should have been beat up by Kofi. And Kofi and Xavier Woods should have been had to make a choice. And his choice would end up going to Kofi because they feel like they've been being overshadowed by Big E. And we all know you can break up and return as a faction because it's happened before and damn near every tag team or faction. So I still don't want to hear that. I don't want to see black man do X, Y, and Z, yada, yada, yada. I think Big E, I also believe that Big E would have been in a bigger position if the breakup with the New Day would happen, because I also believe, as you believe, that that continuing that New Day feel hurt him because it never separated him from the New Day.
Right.
He needed to separate. He could have still been goofy and all of that, but he needed to separate himself from the New Day. And the best way of doing that is getting your ass beat by one of your tag team partners and having to say, damn, I got to fight, dude. I'll even go as far as to say, because how both can go in the ring, not saying that the match would be that great, but a Bret Hart Owen Hart situation comes into play here.
I got you.
As the emotion, because then you also got to think about Bianca saying, man, that's your homie, fam. Like, even why you jumping on your homie, fam? Damn. All right, you got to do what you got to do, baby. But I think y'all can... I think that could happen. So if they... the next time they wrestle, that's my prediction. Next time they wrestle, they break up. Because then that really sets in what I think is going to happen, which is those two at SummerSlam. And it's not the first time that I predicted that match happening. So we'll see what happens. And now let's get back to the women, because Ronda Rousey went up against Natalya for in a championship match, SmackDown Women's Championship match. Correct me if I'm wrong, but has Natalya grown?
You know,
seems a little bit more.
I'm just gonna watch the replay. Because Twitter, I seen her on Twitter photo, the rack out photo, and I'm like, man. But you know what? I guess I'm just never really thought that she was any smaller.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's just I looked at that match and I was like, man, are they boosted, man?
Yeah, I think they've been that. It's just wardrobe is on 10,000 because this is probably the most people to actually watch a natty main event title match. and because, you know, at Saudi Mania, she had to have the 3X on. So, yeah. You know, so so there's that. But yeah, man, I'm just gonna, you know, I'll just watch again.
Seemed like it was a little bit more. But anyway, she wrestled in a nice match against Ronda Rousey.
Yeah,
for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Again, I don't know if they give out Slammies for best carry of a feud, but Natty hands down got my vote because this is the first time where Ronda had no choice but to not be Terminator 2 for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, she had no choice. Like, even on the ending, it was like, okay, yeah, we're not about to play the last great member of the dungeon. We're not doing that. Like, Bret Hart must have called and been like, hey, you're not doing my niece like this, though. I tell you that. Like, we don't know. You let her do her shit. Let her get her shit off. and I'm fine with that. And I am more than fine with that.
Yeah, so... That match happened, and then after the match, after Ronda Rousey defeated Natalya with an armbar, Natalya got into that leg, basically during the match, and then Liv Morgan came out. She got the ankle lock placed on her as soon as she threw a kick, so everybody was like, "Oh no, nah, they not gonna do this to her like this. they not gonna do." I'm not gonna lie. I found myself. In this match, like, hey man, grab the ropes. Please grab the ropes. Grab the ropes. Come on, girl, grab the ropes. Grab the ropes. She grabbed the ropes. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And then, well, almost grabbed the ropes. And then, like, she kicked Ronda. Mm-hmm. And then she rolled her up. Now, I don't lie to you. I might not be the only one that feel like this after watching it twice.
Okay.
Because that was one of the few matches that I did, like, watch while I was drinking. My first thought was, damn, she just got in the ankle lock and then she won with a roll-up right afterwards.
Yeah. Yep.
Then the second time I was like, yeah, Ronda was just trying to get the fuck up out of there. She was losing the belt. She wanted to get the fuck up out of there. At the same time, she probably liked Liv just like everybody else likes Liv. But she was like, shit, I'm not about to win, so I'm out of here. Like, nah, I was happy, bittersweet, happy for Liv winning, but I felt like a finishing move or something should have happened. Two to three more moves should have happened. Because if you just put in an ankle lock for a good amount of time, you kick somebody and then you roll up without a fight, that just screams, man, I'm just trying to get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah, man.
Am I wrong for thinking that?
No, absolutely not. I'm going to tell you the four words that came to my mind once that whole sequence happened. Worst cash in ever. Because one, you're booking a woman that is the baddest woman on the planet that has just won a match, right, for her major title. Then you have your great underdog story by literally the fan favorite, the person that the people want to see win. And not only does she get her moment to cash in and seize the moment, right? But she doesn't even mount offense.
Her offense was a roll up, G.
Right. And I'm like, you know, even the kickback, I was like, so that's her offensive move? We don't even get the shit off the ropes? Like, and it's the worst cash-in ever simply for this reason. Because I don't remember the year, but I want to say maybe it's 2012 into 2013 now. But when The Miz came out to cash in on Randy Orton, I thought he had no chance in hell, even with the way Randy Orton got his ass whooped.
Yep.
And you know what? Miz came in there and started beating the hell out of Randy Orton and hit him with the Skull Crusher finale just to make sure. It was like, hey, because why? That's still Randy Orton.
Yep.
It's still gonna take some work right here. I'm not just about to roll homie up and this is it. This is the worst cash in because when Edge first cashed in on John Cena after a damn cage lifted up, he still hit the spear because, hey, that's John Cena. Mm-hmm. And I'm not fucking around with John Cena thinking I'm going to just pin him and this is it.
Right. He ain't just going down like that.
Right. So my thing is non-selling ass Ronda Rousey, who the most emotion she showed was shit.
Right.
When the music hit.
Like shit.
And it was just like, but then again, most of that match is her offense. And she wouldn't even give in the 1, 2, 3, like with the late kick out. She was just literally laid there. I was like, yo, you ain't at the crib. Your mans ain't about to throw that in there like that. Yo, what are you doing?
Man, I thought I was the only one.
Like, yo. I was like, okay, one, shout out to you for being flexible. But at the same time, this is the ring. You got to do a little more selling than that. And I don't like the cashing. I don't like the sportsmanship. When have you ever in your fucking life, besides that time, when John Cena was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do the honorable thing. I'm going to tell you when I'm about to cash in. Other than that, there's no sportsmanship needed for Money in the Bank, bro. It's the cash in. You just had a match. You just got your ass beat. You just lost your title. And they call you the baddest woman on the planet. Now you about to hand the belt over, hug, and raise a hand and walk out?
So,
nah. You were madder than that when Heidi Holm beat your ass in real life. So you're not about to convince me that you okay with this. Nah, we not going, man. Worst cash in ever.
That's why I said it's bittersweet. Cause I love Liv cashed in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Facts.
We both love that Liv cashed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, damn, that's how we cashing in. That's how they're giving you the belt. Right. That's how she's giving you the belt.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. Like, it's a catch 22. Mm-hmm. Cause I agree with you on the sportsmanship shit, man. Look, she just came and took your belt after you just beat a woman. And she didn't even give you a chance to, so you should be mad and upset.
Man.
And I'm like, but damn, it's Liv Morgan.
Yeah, there's that.
But to that point, like, you can't be nice with everybody, fam. Like, you can be nice when the match is over.
Right.
And y'all in the back. Girl, so when the documentary comes, you're like, girl, you know what? Yes, congratulations.
Girl. Yeah.
After Thank that, you. Though, but like in the ring, oh, because even with the congratulations, it looked like she didn't want to congratulate her.
Man.
Like the half-ass hug.
It's like, I totally get how maybe when the curtain calls and the lights are out and all the fans are outside the arena, Liv Morgan is who everybody want to see do well. When lada blase fair, right? However, my worry is we're doing Liv Morgan's character no justice. Because the other shit that don't make sense about this bang, Becky Lynch was hoeing Liv Morgan for a month.
Hoeing.
But she about to beat Ronda Rousey with a roll up with no mean streak. No, hitting her over the head with the briefcase. That was the shit that really pissed me off.
Hoeing. I'm going to say it one more time. Hoeing. Hoeing her.
Dog. I would have literally sat there and been like, yo, what? Because one, once her music hit, I'm thinking like, oh, Liv Morgan about to come in here and start beating her leg with the briefcase. Oh, right. Bet. Let's get it. And then, because like the thing is, how I saw it playing out in my mind, ladies and gentlemen, was this. Ronda Rousey was already in the ropes. So now, the music, doom, 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 doom. It come down. She run out there. Bow, bow, bow. They were like, oh, my God. She is annihilating Ronda Rousey with the briefcase. And she's still in the ropes. Ronda, because she supposed to be a G. Nah, she went to cash in. Let her cash in. Let her cash in. And then as soon as that bell rang, whoop, in the ropes, bow, hit her head on there. Grab that bad leg, pin her, win the match. Done.
You talking shit right now, fam.
And I'm like, is that not in Ronda's contract? Like, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing? Why was that not the ending? Because the thing is, what we've learned historically, it don't matter how much of a face you are when you win that Money in the Bank, when you cash in, all bets are off. Yo, one of the underrated cash-ins was CM Punk. because he was like, hey, look, man, what you want to do? That's how the shit go. He's like, hey, what do you mean? I should have done it differently. I'm the champ. It's like, bruh, fuck is you on? No, you cash in by any means. Y'all saw what Edge did.
It's like, we here doing. G, yeah. We here. Cause I can't think of a cash in, G. I can't think of a cash in where it was that damn light.
Yeah.
Like, nah, a move or two got to get put up.
Yeah, man.
It's like, yo, or they coming with the briefcase.
Yeah.
To beat your ass to make sure.
Man, got
to
make sure.
To make sure. Hey, man, this motherfucker ain't getting up, Jack. He ain't getting up. Fuck you talking about? He's not getting up tonight. Right. 1, 2, 3. Match over. Thank you. He's not getting up tonight. Right. It was, she went for the kick. She went for the kick. It was like, oh, ankle lock. Everybody nervous. Mm-hmm. So it's like, shit. Oh, she got out of it? 1, 2, 3. Huh?
Man.
And I think, and I also believe, I will say this. I also believe that part of the reason why we're going to look over it,
mm-hmm,
is Liv Morgan, fam.
Yeah.
It's Liv Morgan.
But see, that, though, is what makes Tony Khan right about it being difficult to build new superstars. To me, keeping it real with y'all, and maybe this is my bonus guarantee, to me, they just set up Liv Morgan to get eaten by the wolf known as Charlotte Flair on Friday.
Oh, you.
Like, yo. She'll be like, oh, hey, I'm back. And that's the champ. Yo, I want my match tonight. Fuck it. I don't need to prep.
You bet. I look, here's the crazy thing, too. Because I like Liv Morgan so much, it don't even matter to me when she lose the belt. She got that motherfucking congratulations. Oh, but yeah, Charlotte Flair been gone long enough where she had that belt by Friday.
Yeah, man.
And like by Friday.
Yeah.
Like we're talking on the pod right now, and the next 2 weeks, Charlotte Flair is going to be what? Like the 15-time world champ.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Charlotte Flair versus Bayley or Bayley. Matter of fact, fuck the Charlotte Flair shit. I would see more Bayley defeating Liv Morgan on Friday than Charlotte Flair. Hey, I don't see Liv Morgan wrestling at SummerSlam with the defending the title.
Yeah. Nah.
I don't.
And you know why you don't though? Partially. It's because that cash in was weak as fuck. Like, yeah. that's why, yo, I mean, again, man, it's just so much power. The thing is, right, I don't know who it's worse off to be right now. Do you want to be Otis, the dude that lose the contract, Are you Baron Corbin, the dude that lose it, cashing it in? Or if you're Liv Morgan, getting your ass beat, but you end up winning? Like, I don't know who it's worse to be, because right now Baron Corbin's at SummerSlam. And right now, Otis is a dominant former tag team champion. This is Liv's first title, period. And they didn't put her in the same position that they put The Miz in. They didn't put her in the situation that they put Sheamus in, CM Punk in, Jinder Mahal even. They just didn't put her in the position where, oh shit, we at least gonna get 60 days out of this. She gonna get her shit off on one pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, Asuka won and got the title handed to her, but shit, Asuka wasn't gonna win Money in the Bank. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't gonna win her cash in.
Yeah.
You know the vibes. You know what I'm saying?
Like, hey, I'll say this. Liv Morgan gonna hold them tag team championships longer than she holds this world championship. The SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Fight. Facts. Facts.
All right, man. Let's get to the last match of the night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think this is the match where it was a great pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking with all of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vince McMahon said, let's fuck it up.
Yeah, man. And
I said, bittersweet pay-per-view. Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Seth freaking Rollins, and Sheamus was all slated to be in this Money in the Bank, but it was mm-hmm. one more spot left.
Yeah, man.
And mm-hmm. since he lost the United States Championship, that one more spot went to Theory.
Yeah, man.
So before I even go any further in the match, how if I'm Bobby, if you're Bobby Lashley,
mm-hmm.
you just beat Omos in a feud.
Mm-hmm.
You just beat Austin Theory for the United States Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And both them motherfuckers is in Money in the Bank. How you feeling? What's going on?
Well, the fan of Bobby Lashley says, yo, that's some bullshit. Because we've been saying, fuck Money in the Bank.
Mm.
Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley, SummerSlam needs to happen. Like, that was the match to me.
Yes.
So I wasn't even thinking that he had to win Money in the Bank. I'm like, no, he just next.
Yeah.
So I'm already hot at that. But again, I'm trying to let a cooler head prevail here.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, Bobby Lashley just worked with the standout performer and the winner of the Money in the Bank match. So, I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic here and say, oh, Bobby Lashley is the new measuring stick. We got the black measuring stick on specifically the Raw roster. That's how I'm trying to view it. Does it make sense to me? Nah. What the crowd had wanted the result to have been Bobby Lashley coming down and grabbing that briefcase? Yes, you can't convince me they wouldn't.
Oh, you cannot convince me the way that the crowd reacted to this man winning the United States Championship.
Man, listen. So, I'm totally lost here. But, you know, Bobby Lashley, the OG, he probably like, well, look, this is what I'm doing for the company. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing for them what I'm guessing he feel. I don't even know Umaga did for him. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Rest in peace, Umaga. You dig? I don't know who we think did this for him. So now he got to do it for the Young Bucks. I don't know. But that's how I guess I ain't got no choice but to see it that way. Because nothing in my left or right brain, Bang, is telling me that Bobby Lashley shouldn't have a world title match at SummerSlam. So they got 3 weeks to make this make sense to me. Shit.
Oh, man. Safe to say, when he came down to the ring, I said to myself, man, the fix better not be in. And I like, see, again, the pay-per-view, bittersweet, because I've said on this podcast, check the archives, that Austin Theory is the future of the WWE.
Yep.
I just didn't want it to be now. That's all.
fair.
I just did not want it to be all. But, alas, I was wrong. Because Theory defeated Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Omos, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Seth freaking Rollins, and Sheamus to win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah, man.
So he has up to a year to use the Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
There's already some people that said that he might not even have that Money in the Bank to use it. You know, maybe it is an Otis situation or a Ken Kennedy situation. Others say that he's going to try to cash in on Roman Reigns and he's going to lose it.
Mm.
See, the thing is with Theory is he's in bed, pause, with Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how this shit's going to go. And maybe, just maybe, it's the good thing about this. It gives us an air of not, Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to go on, and that's the good thing about it. Give us a bit of a surprise here. But the other part of me is sitting here like, Theory? Now? I don't know if we want to do that.
Mm.
But then I looked at the... Now, here's the bittersweet part. I looked at the crowd's reaction, and I said to myself, there's probably nobody better to win the Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
First time I watched it, I was get the fuck up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Second time I watched it, I said, I think Vince might be smart here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more like Jack Swagger winning it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like Damian Sandow winning it. It's more like Baron Corbin winning it.
Mm.
It's just I believe that they believe in Theory more than they believe in those other guys at that point in their career. Yeah, even sure. even though one of them guys, Jack Swagger, end up cashing it in and winning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. However, I just think it's one of those things that we just do not like Theory.
Mm-hmm.
However, and I saw you retweet this. He did give me one of my funniest moments of the year so far. When he told John Cena, you a grown-ass man wearing jorts.
He says 2022.
It's 2022. And you a grown-ass man out here wearing jorts. I said to myself then.
Oh, man.
It's just that then he wins it and you're like, ah. So I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted with the ending. I'm conflicted with the ending because you do have, like, I'm tired of seeing Seth Rollins lose.
Yeah. Same.
I think that just as well as we believe that Bobby Lashley should be in the match at SummerSlam, even though I predicted what we're talking about here, It is irritating as fuck.
Mm.
To see Seth Rollins not have a belt himself, which means to me, this whole Undisputed World Championship shit was a failure.
Mm.
And I only say that it was a failure because how good the wrestlers are performing.
Right. Yeah.
Seth, Cody, Bobby,
man,
and you, Riddle. And you mean to tell me they can't fight for shit?
Man. Yo, man, it's uncanny, right? However, man, Theory is obviously next. And he's only next, but they had to accelerate it to now. Because Cody Rhodes was obviously now. He was obviously now, right? I had to Google this just to make sure, and now I see the play.
Okay.
I'm not making this a guarantee or anything.
Oh, shit.
But I just want to point out that the question online, I think even in Reddit, is Who's the youngest WWE champion? Randy Orton or Brock Lesnar? I'm just throwing this out here for y'all. Because the caveat here is Randy Orton was the youngest world heavyweight champion. Brock Lesnar is the youngest WWE champion. And one was 24 and some days, and the other one was 25 and some months. And it's like, Theory's younger than both of them right now. And he has a chance to win both belts at the same time if they're not going to be broken up by SummerSlam. Saying all that to say, Money in the Bank, no matter when his 25th birthday comes, he's going to be the youngest WWE champion, period. And no matter what, he'll always be the youngest undisputed champion because Randy Macho Man Savage and Chris Jericho were way older than him when they won it. Mm. Also Roman Reigns. So it really doesn't matter at this moment. Again, I'm not making that a guarantee or anything. I'm just saying that's an observation. It's like, wow. He keeps talking about how old he is. And he just won Money in the Bank.
They even announced it as he was, you know, for the United States champion. Like, that's in this announcement. The youngest United States champion of all time. Yeah. And when I heard that, that was like, damn, why y'all announcing it that? Because, of course, they're going to say that shit with the Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Hey, even the callback on Raw of like, hey, man, what were you doing when you were my age, John Cena? And you weren't even here. And I'm already the U.S. champion. And I was like, oh, that's how we're going about this. We're not wasting any time letting everybody know that, hey, the list is the list. And he about to at least beat everybody on time. And his birthday is August 2nd.
Yep. Wow. Wow. I didn't even think about that. I didn't realize he was 24.
Yeah.
So it does make things interesting because you got a great point. Like, they're putting the emphasis on this man's age. Mm-hmm. And even when you think about it, he's very close. Well, not – he's very close to being – having a similar year as a Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Racking up victories and everything. So, really, it would – okay, I'm going to make a guarantee again.
Okay.
It's a lie here. I beat it around the bush last week with that shit. I'm not going to do it now. Roman Reigns is going to lose to Brock Lesnar.
Mm.
But Brock Lesnar is only going to lose one of those belts. I mean, get one of those belts.
Mm.
Theory is cashing in on Brock Lesnar. He's not cashing in on Roman Reigns. He's cashing in on Brock Lesnar. Because when you think about it, Vince McMahon going through a lot, fam. He just got it. It was an old rape allegation that resurfaced that's just been added to the docket, fam.
Buddy.
So he got the paying off for coochie and rape allegations over his head.
Not good.
Cody's hurt. A couple of things have happened. He break the glass. He calls Brock Lesnar. I don't think Brock Lesnar expected to come back this early.
Mm-mm.
But he was like, yo, Vince got that bread. Let's go. Who did Brock Lesnar beat last in Elimination Chamber to win the World Championship?
Theory.
Long-term storytelling, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We going to go to SummerSlam, and we going to see Brock Lesnar win. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the explosions. My anxiety is going to be on 50.
Yeah. And just to add more clarification, though, Bang, I want you to explain to people why specifically Theory is expected to cash in on Brock Lesnar and just take his title. I think it's very important that people never forget this when we're talking about the WWE and Vince McMahon.
For me, it's long-term storytelling. Because one, Brock Lesnar really came back to help out Vince.
Yeah.
Because we lost some people.
Right.
But I'm not here. I'm here, but I'm not here for a long time.
Right.
Roman Reigns, there's going to be a stipulation that Paul Heyman is going to put in there that if he wins, he's going to win the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. That way, Roman Reigns keeps the belt, and that way, we keep the title reign going.
Yeah, that's one.
What's the other one?
Vince will always protect and make the WWE Championship the most exciting title in wrestling.
So when that happens, Brock Lesnar is going to be on Raw the next day. The Bloodline with an introducing Solo Siaki. They're going to, because remember, smack after SummerSlam mm-hmm. and after WrestleMania is when we get call-ups. Mm-hmm. So the Usos is going to get the drop on Brock. Mm-hmm. He's going to fight back. Solo Siaki is going to debut, and mm-hmm. he's going to beat Brock's ass. Mm-hmm. He's going to super kick him and all that shit. And then the Usos and Solo are going to all get a splash off on Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And that's when Austin Theory ass is going to run down. He's cashing in. He's cashing in on Brock. And he's going to pin him. Mm-hmm. He might not even have to do the A-Town Down, people.
Yeah.
He's going to pin Brock Lesnar.
And after he does that bang, at midnight, he'll be 25. Hey, believe what you want. We just telling you what we seeing in front of us. we just telling you what we see in front of us. On midnight after Monday Night Raw on August 1st, Theory will turn 25 years old. Mm. So again, that's just analysis. It's wrestling yep. analysis from banging myself.
And if that happens, what are they gonna say?
He's the youngest WWE champion in history.
And he's going to beat the former
youngest WWE champion in history.
The same person who in Elimination Chamber
beat the youngest, beat the youngest, soon to be youngest US champion in history.
Y'all ain't slick, WWE and Vince McMahon and Tom and Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't slick, man. Austin Theory will be the champion the day after SummerSlam. Mm.
Dang.
Brock Lesnar gonna have that belt on Sunday and parts of Monday.
Yeah.
Just don't see it no other way, fam. I don't see, because if they keep that title, I don't see Vince McMahon. That's the other part. I don't see Vince McMahon giving Theory that push and not giving him the belt.
Yeah. I don't know who thought of that, but nah. There's no way. You just don't like Theory at this point. Nobody has had a push quite like this. Not even not even the first version of Drew McIntyre. Like, he didn't even get this. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Drew McIntyre didn't get this. Was Elijah Burke didn't get this. Is this the Vince McMahon protege is always supposed to get something.
Yeah. And then apparently he feels like he's got the greatest protege yet.
And again, I said it when I saw Evolve, him and Josh Briggs, I think it was, for the World Championship. Mm. I said, yeah, This the future, G. Mm. This the future. That's what I see here. And they gonna make sure he get that. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Austin Theory going nowhere.
Oh, you're not.
And also with that, Austin Theory is losing to John Cena.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With that, because that's also how this shit happens. Austin Theory lost the belt to move up.
Mm-hmm.
The same shit's going to happen tonight on SummerSlam weekend. He going to lose to John Cena, and he going to win the title. Y'all get people get ready.
Mm.
No. Curtis Mayfield voice. People get ready. Y'all ain't going to want to see that, boy. Y'all ain't going to want to see that.
Man.
Y'all are not going to want to see what's going to happen when Theory wins that belt.
Mm.
Because y'all going to be mad because y'all don't like Theory like that. And Vince McMahon is looking at that and he's saying this. Oh, they don't like you, fam.
Hey, that works out. That works.
That works. Because that pop, when he wins it, the fans going to have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to make a clean decision.
For sure.
Because you don't want a part-timer having the belt again. That's but you hate Theory. This man is going to put y'all in a conundrum. You're going to your head's going to explode. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens from there. So
mm-hmm. There it is. Hey, man. Well, hey, look. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thank you for tuning in, you know what I'm saying, checking us out on this Monday edition, holiday edition, America edition of
and the first. And real quick, I added the Facebook page, the group to this. So the
nice.
Group has been checking us out.
Awesome, awesome, man. We appreciate y'all, man. And, you know, even though y'all here live to hear it, likes, comments, shares, tags, conversation, posts, innuendo, agree, disagrees, predictions and analysis, all of it greatly appreciated every single week when y'all come in and you do what you do to the page, man. Obviously, Bang and I could do the show without you, but it's way more greater and interesting to have you all along for the ride. All right. And definitely remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Camp Bang. We are out.